Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Dina Blizzard, and you're watching One Funny Morning.
Welcome to One Funny Morning Show.
From Monday to Friday.
And sometimes on Saturday.
Why would you say that in front of all these people?
You never know what's gonna happen.
Carmen!
Cortez!
Good morning, everybody.
What's outside your weather door?
Good morning.
Uppy, uppy.
Uppy, everybody.
Hey there. I'm Lucinda from sunny San Diego and the OFM California chapter where you can surf and ski all in one day. You're watching One Funny Morning with the fabulous, always witty, always gorgeous, sometimes dead inside, my best friend from Jersey, Dina Blizzard.
That might be my favorite intro, Lucinda. Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. Donna got a notification. It's all very exciting. It is, I believe, Wednesday. Let's just go with that because I had Tipsy Tuesday last night. We are in the studio today. Tomorrow, we are headed to Saskatoon, Canada. So you will not see a morning show tomorrow, but you will see us live on Friday morning from Judy's She Shed somewhere in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. And I don't know what any of those words meant. So keep that in mind. We're going to get started right now with our special guest. We have lots of articles to talk about in the news that are super funny, but we have a special guest today. Sexy producer Michelle did a great job because our guest today is somebody that I have been watching ever since my kids were babies. And I looked up, we have every year we have the New Jersey Balloon Festival in New Jersey. And when I was looking at the schedule, our guest was on the schedule and is coming to New Jersey this weekend to perform. And some of you may know her. Some of you might be just introduced to her, but you're going to love her to death. Please help me welcome to the show the fabulous author, musician, and fabulous creative person. We're so excited to have her, Lori Berkner from the Lori Berkner Band. Hey, Lori.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. I think you're calling in from California. It's like 5:30 in the morning.
No, that's someone who works for me. I'm in New York, so.
Oh, thank you.
Not too bad.
Okay. I was going to say, you look really good for 5:30 in the morning. I wouldn't look that good. So I have to tell you, I was so excited to hear that you're coming to New Jersey. My kids are all grown now, Laurie. So I've known about you for probably 20 years. Oh my God, Lori Berkner, get her autograph. My preschool class loves her. That's from Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly.
So I have so many questions, but first I want to show you this just to prove that I have been a fan. I pulled this out of my my TV stand because I don't even think I have anything that will play it anymore. But this thing has probably been played and played and played over and over again, my kids and I. So I have a son named Dean, a daughter Jacqueline, and a daughter Brooke. And what they're all musicians in some fashion. And so we used to have you playing as well as Raffi playing all the time, around the clock. So let me tell you this. She has 1 billion streams across everything, 1.4 million albums sold, 15 award-winning albums. She's a four-time platinum artist. She's performed at the White House, at Carnegie Hall, the Today Show, GMA, and today on One Funny Morning. So we are so excited. She's been called the Adele of the preschool crowd by the New York Times. Look, everybody is quoting, we are dinosaurs in a jam. They're all quoting all of your songs. Last night I pulled up, on YouTube. My daughter is a violin major at Rowan University.
Oh, wonderful.
I accredit you as well as myself and Raffi for inspiring her. But we pulled up like Victor Vito, We Are the Dinosaurs, some of our favorites. But so I don't, yeah. How did you get started? Let's start there. I'm so excited you're here, Laurie. Go.
Well, thanks. Yeah, really, I got started because I got this job right out of college as a preschool music specialist. So I was working with, I was supposed to be bringing in the music to them, but I had no experience and no idea what I was doing. And I had been a camp counselor, a music counselor at a camp up in Vermont for a summer. I had worked at a daycare and I was like, oh, I could do this. So I got that job and it totally kicked my butt. Like, I did not know what I was doing. I didn't know how to talk to the kids. I finally went and I observed the woman who'd had the job before me. Her name was Ruth Alperson. And I just remember like trying to walk into the classroom and the kids just running everywhere and me having no idea what to do with them and just being like, oh, come back. And then I'd run and grab one kid and then I'd come back and the whole rest of the class would have run to the other side of the room. So when I watched Ruth, she and I had a guitar and I could move and she was just sitting behind a piano and these 3-year-olds just like sat down, got up, walked around, did all the things she asked them to do. So I asked her, how did you do that? Like, what is your magic? And she said, just put it all in the music. So I started writing songs that gave the kids things to do and let them know how I wanted them to move and use their bodies. And We Are the Dinosaurs was actually, I think, probably the first song I wrote because I didn't know. I tried to find music for them. I went to the library because this was kind of pre-Google and listened to a lot of songs and I would bring them in and they would just be like, we don't like that song. It's a baby song. And so one day I said, well, what do you want to sing about? And one kid said, dinosaurs. And another kid said, yeah, dinosaurs. And everybody, there was like a big uproar. And I said, great, everybody get up. Let's be dinosaurs. Let's start to march. And then I just kept saying things like, we're marching, we're marching. Oh my gosh, they're starting to hurt each other. Okay, stop and eat your food on the ground. And then they would all do it. Oh, okay, let's march, let's march. Okay, stop and take a rest. You know, when they would start to get really loud. And by the end of that day, I kind of had an idea of, okay, there's this rhythm that's really important to watch in the kids and give them. It was so exciting to be able to sing about something that I could see they loved and that they wanted to be engaged with. And then give them ways to express all the different things they wanted to express, like being angry and loud and also maybe missing their parents a little bit and being able to rest because they would get tired. And like giving them all of that within the music really changed completely my experience in the classroom and turned it into something I really loved to do.
And so how long from that time did you really find that you could make such an impact, like with the DVD and kind of putting yourself out there in a bigger way? Because that's a big jump, right?
Yeah. So I was writing songs. I just did it for the kids that I was teaching. And then I got another job doing that at another place because a friend of mine was also doing it. And he was like, actually, I think you would do better in this position. Like, why don't I recommend you for it? So I ended up at the West Side Y in on the Upper West Side. And there was a woman there who suggested that I record the songs that I was writing because I guess a lot of parents had been saying, my kids are coming home, they're singing about dinosaurs, they're singing these other songs about glasses and stuff that I've never heard of. So she gave me she didn't give it to me. She loaned me some money after I like came up with a budget and said, okay, I'm going to make 500 cassettes and it'll cost me this much. And if I sell them at this much money, you know, can I borrow this from you to do it? Right. So she lent me the money and I started actually selling those cassettes. And eventually there were many things happened in between, but eventually someone who was starting an early version of Nick Jr., which was called Noggin back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I remember Noggin, yeah.
Yeah. She was one of the creative people starting it. Her nieces had somehow gotten a hold of the tape. They lived in California. This woman, Amy Friedman, found my mother, who lives in California as well, like in the phone book. And we met and after, like, I had also had a little stint on the Today Show because there was another parent who worked on the Today Show. It was like, she's great. So there were just these things that happened. Yeah. And eventually, once I Noggin created an original show called Jack's Big Music Show. And they asked if I would kind of audition for it, make a video with them. They showed it to a bunch of kids and families. And the kids, I don't know if this is true, but I heard a rumor that they said, who's your favorite character on the show? You know, it's filled with puppets. And they got so many kids saying Lori, who was just me in the band, you know, that they decided to, instead of just have me in one episode, we became kind of like the house band and we were in every episode. So that, and then we created ones that they showed in between, actually prior to the show, actually we made those ones that came out in between other shows that they were putting on their channel. They're called interstitials because they didn't have commercials. Uh-huh. They did that like, hey, you did really well on the Today Show. That was kind of an explosion when that happened for a short time. And like, why don't we see what happens if we make a bunch of videos and put them on our channel? And a lot of things happened.
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds like it was meant to be that, you know, all of these things kind of came into place for you, which is so lovely. And so my kids are Dean and Jacqueline's age. This is bringing back so many memories. I know. Do you often get recognized by like kids that are like 20 that are going, oh my gosh, I totally watched you when I was a kid. Does that happen often?
That's so funny. I mean, that happens like on TikTok. Like I get a lot of, oh my God, you were my childhood. You raised me. I mean, very, very beautiful, wonderful things to hear. And a lot of teens and 20s who say, I still listen to your music as my safety net. Yeah. And that's what I put on when I'm fighting with my parents. That's when I am feeling lonely at college. It's really, really nice. As far as getting recognized, it's usually more younger parents today who are newer to the music and they're like, wait, you live next door to me. So, cause I can definitely be seen walking my elderly dog at all times of day or night, except for right now. Cause I broke my foot a week ago and I haven't been walking.
Oh, you're kidding. Did you do it like saving a baby? Is there a good story of the
birth? Yeah. Oh, there's a great, no, I have a terrible story.
It's just like, oh, I got out of bed and I rolled.
Almost. Yeah. I was at the gym at a HIIT class. I wasn't even doing anything hard. I was literally stepping down off of a treadmill. No. And I kind of rolled onto it. So, and of course I have a full summer, including the
Balloon Fest
ahead of me of shows every weekend for, I think, the next 4 or 5 weekends. So, multiple shows each weekend. So, and the Balloon Fest is the first show I'm going to play with my broken foot. So I have a wonderful, wonderful woman who's worked for me for years who is actually a dancer. So knows all my music. She's going to come out on stage and like help me with movements and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's so great that you talk about movement so much because I remember my kids being so young and, you know, they just have so much energy. And so, you know, we could put on like a Fantasia. We watched Fantasia over and over again from Disney and it was beautiful. And the visuals were so beautiful, but what's so great about your music is that it was very engaging and the kids were moving and they were listening and it was just such a great time. Like, I feel like when your kids are so young and like your home is your kind of respite where you can kind of get away for just a few minutes that, yeah, to put your music on and be like, they're good for, you know, a half hour. I can go make dinner. I can go do something. And they're not just kind of vegging out. And it's just so active. We put on the Goldfish song too last night. And I feel like that was like another classic. But it was just funny last night. I had said to Brooke that you were going to be on the show and she's like, cause she's my youngest. So she would have, you know, she was like, I think I remember her. And then I started playing the videos and she's like, oh, I remember. It was just, you know, you just have so many. It's like when you go out, like when fall comes and that smell, it's like it kind of brings back memories. And I feel like it's the same with music.
A lot of people, that's what they say to me, is like, this was sort of the soundtrack of my kids' younger years, you know? And
I'm not the soundtrack of anybody's. You may be the old, maybe the old menopausal years. I have a different genre.
I'm with you.
So maybe we could write some songs about menopause, because I feel like they'd be a hit for a totally different reason.
Totally. I'm on it.
Lois Lane, what is that? That was a band you were in?
Yeah. So at the beginning of my teaching days, I had an original band called Red Onion that was my own music, and then I was also in this cover band. It was all female cover band called Lois Lane, because she don't need no Superman. And we played mostly lesbian bars and sports bars, so it was like either all men or all women.
Wow, that's fun. That's got to be different to watch. All right.
Yeah, it was fun. We did. It was in the 90s. Was it in the 90s? Yeah. So I think we did songs from the 60s through the 90s, and I definitely learned a lot more about playing electric guitar. I mean, I just remember that band overlapped with when I kind of let the adult music go and really focused on kids stuff. Wow. And I remember the day that I was like, I went to a show last night. I was feeling really sick. Everybody screamed at me to play Freebird all night long. Everyone was drunk. The smoke was everywhere. I was playing till, I don't know, I think we used to play like 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. So I didn't leave there till 4 in the morning, driving home from Long Island, carrying my amp up a bunch of stairs in my non-elevator building, and like flopped into bed and had a birthday party to play like a couple hours later. Wow. Down in Bryant Park. And I went down to, not Bryant Park, Battery Park City. Okay. Beautiful, on the water of the Hudson River, and it was outdoors, and I went down there, and just like, it was really early and I was trying to wake up, and then I learned all the kids' names. I would go to these birthday parties and learn everybody's names so I could sing it during the songs, like if I sang a song where I used kids' names. Yeah. And I was doing that, and I started playing something, and one dad was like jumping with his kid and said, play Victor Vito, which and I was like, it is so much more awesome to have someone ask me to play Victor Vito than Freebird.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Why am I doing both of these things? Like, I could just be doing this. Like, I'm completely exhausted, and I'm so much happier out here in the open air playing this music that I wrote, that feels like it's something that actually kids connect to, and the people who are listening are getting joy from, and like these families, the parents and kids are loving each other. Like, while they're listening, they're experiencing this like beautiful connection. And that just, it just completely flipped me, and I quit the band at that point.
Yeah. And I think that's such a great story. So I've been a comic for 20 years, and I feel like so many artists kind of follow that same path, right? Where you have to do everything in order to pay your bills and get your name out there and kind of, you know, do all the hard work. But if you're lucky, you know, you get that moment where you just say to yourself, like, I don't think I have to do both of these anymore. I think I could just lean into the thing that I've been creating the whole time. And so I think it's a great story. I think, you know, we have a lot of moms that watch the show, and we have lots of younger people, but I think that we have lots of really creative people that watch. And I think that creative process is great to hear about. And it's so lovely that it's been so successful for you. So how about, what's your favorite part of what you do? Is it what you just described, kind of just connecting with people?
Yeah. I mean, I love the meet and greets after the show are just, they're very special, because it gives me a chance to actually talk to the people who are listening and hear their stories. Mm-hmm. I love the concerts, but I also love being in the studio. Like, I really, I really enjoy sculpting a song, and I don't do super produced things. I mean, I actually do have an entire album of EDM dance remixes of my songs, which was also really fun to do. So anyone who's like an old fan, if you want to hear like Monster Boogie and Boots and We Are the Dinosaurs, like in like, it's very fun. Awesome. Like, I highly recommend going and checking that out.
But what's that, what is the name of that album?
It's called The Dance Remixes, Lori Berkner, The Dance Remixes.
Good to know. Good to know.
But I love being in the studio. Like the idea of creating something spare enough to really still connect, especially vocally with and rhythmically with kids. But the youngest kids are, you know, they're tuning into language, mm-hmm. and that sound of the voice and the words they're learning, the movements that come out of the music, which, like you said, I very, very consciously create interactive or movement based parts of almost every song that I write. There are exceptions, that are more about like self-empowerment and things like that. But I feel like that is something that I am listening for in the studio. And I spend a lot of time really working hard to create something that a kid is going to connect to and that I'll feel really proud of as a musician, and hopefully all the musicians who played with me on it as well. So that's also a very fun part of the job.
That sounds like it. And so what's the span of your career? Because my son is 23. So how long have you been doing this? A long time, right?
Yes. I started teaching in the early, like 91, I think. Oh. And I put out my first album in 97. So that's been 26 years. That was We Are the Dinosaurs. And then this is the 25th anniversary of my second album, which is called Buzz Buzz.
Oh.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's so amazing. So when you talk about that creative process, like, you know, creating that first album, that We Are the Dinosaurs, to what you're creating now, do you see a difference in yourself and how the songs that you're creating or the processes, is it quicker now for you? Like, do you see any big differences after 20? Because I see it, like I just wrote another hour of stand-up. So sadly I got divorced. I turned 50. All my kids moved out. Like my life, my whole career was talking about kids and being married. And so it's, you know, 20 years later and I write a lot faster. And cleaner. I mean, yeah. I'm a comic, Lori. We won't talk about it, but I've gotten cleaner, so you might like my stuff now. I'd like to believe there's a other side to Lori Berkner as well. So,
yes,
I think you would like it.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, just because I write music for kids.
Yeah, I think having a bourbon with Lori Berkner one night might be on my bucket list. So, just so you know. But I know you're tight on time. I could ask you a million questions. But let's just say you are going to be in 2 days, you're going to be at the New Jersey Lottery's Balloon Festival at 1:30. So the Balloon Festival is an amazing festival in New Jersey. If you haven't seen it or heard of it, check it out. They have launches in the morning and at nighttime. There's like 75 to 100 balloons that go off in the morning and at night. It's one of the most beautiful things you can see. And Lori will be performing at 1:30 on the 28th during that festival. So you can go and see her. You can find
her. Please, I just want to say, please bring water. Maybe an umbrella, like they don't, unless you buy those really expensive covered seats, it's not covered and it's going to be like in the 90s.
Okay.
So I just want everybody to be safe. And I'm very excited to be doing the show. I can't wait actually to see what it's like with my foot. Yeah. I think it's going to be like special for me, like my first show. But but I just want everyone to make sure they're safe.
Yeah. It's New Jersey. Definitely. This is our high time. So good advice. So check Lori out at loriberkner.com. You can find her on social media at Lori Berkner Band as well. And congrats on your anniversary. Any other things that you have coming up that people, I know that I saw you during the pandemic, you were doing a lot as well. Are you big on TikTok and the Insta and all of that as well?
Yeah, well, I do we're taking August off, but I just did this on Friday. I do on a free online show, we usually do Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Also just for the older fans, the Buzz, we are releasing it on vinyl in the fall. So that's actually out for pre-order already. And what do you think of that? My first album came out last year on vinyl. So I hope next year's Victor Vito it's 25th. So
wow.
Trying to create a little compilation of those vinyl albums, just, you know, for fun and nostalgia. Yeah.
And nostalgia for sure. For sure. That's well, thank you so much, Lori, for joining us. And I hope everyone has a chance to come and see you in person and meet you. And do yourself a favor, make sure you follow Lori. She has amazing music. Tell your kids, your grandkids. I know there's lots of teachers here that are already familiar with you. But it was such a pleasure meeting you, and thank you for getting up. And maybe one day we'll have our bourbon in New York or write some menopause song. Let me know.
Perfect. I'll be calling you.
Awesome. All
thanks,
right.
Tina.
Thanks, Lori. We'll see
Bye.
You. Bye. Bye. How amazing was that? Oh my gosh, sexy producer Michelle did such a good job. That was such a treat. I'm telling you. Literally watched this a million times with my kids. I can't believe it. So good. I know. That's a whole nother level. As a librarian, often use her songs in my story hours. Great. I know. I was so excited. I know. Awesome job, Michelle. So good. Well, we kind of make up our list of people that were kind of like coming through Philly or New Jersey or Atlantic City. It's always great to say like, hey, can you, see if you can get this person. And then Michelle will come back. She'll be like, it's happening. Oh, so good. So good. Isn't it? I'm telling you, if she keeps getting really good guests, I'm going to get weirder and weirder. I just smile and I stare at people. I had to really focus on questions. I'm like, oh, look at Lori Berkner like that. Okay. Yeah. You guys. Yeah. Totally fangirling, Rebecca. Yeah. Well, look up for my grandkids. You should. She's so good. She's so talented. And I think I really love just hearing about everybody's creative process because, you know, you see kind of these great artists, whatever that art form is, whether it's books or music or acting or singing. And, you know, everybody, there is not a successful person on the planet that doesn't have a story of how they started. And they were living in cars and playing gigs like Lori described just so well, the nighttime gigs. So good. I don't even know if I set up the drinking of the dogs. I don't know. I am done. I'm done for the day. I don't really know what to say to you after we meet Lori Berkner, because I would have much rather just had me leave and Lori stay and have a conversation with you. I have a suggestion for a guest. Where can I send that? You can send it to Michelle at One Funny Mother. Mm-hmm. I'm so cheesy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Patty, you would love her. I was, Mary. I'm not good. Super dorky. Super dorky. I did say I have a bunch of articles. Yeah, let's go to my articles. So let me pull them up. Hold on. We had some technical issues this morning, and you didn't see it, but Michelle and I were both freaking out because my internet wasn't working. Okay. And, so literally before the show, I was like, nothing's working. Lori's going to think we're so dumb. All right, hold on. Oh my gosh, that was so fun. I can't believe it. All right, hold on. Let me focus. You guys, let's focus because I'm a little beside myself. Okay. Here's an article. And This is the craziest headline I've ever seen. You should get autographs. How am I going to do that, Tanya? I just sent him a piece of paper in the mail. But we are so dumb. It is us, the dumb ones. It's true. All right, here we go. Share screen. Ba-da-ba-da-ba. All right, here we go. Here is the article. Let me do this. Probably better. Florida Chipotle goes viral after numerous. All right, hold on. What did I do? Numerous Yelp reviews claim employee seduced their husbands. What are you saying? What? Oh, wait. This is stuck. You guys don't see what I see. Hold on. I might have to pull it up on my phone. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. I am giddy. I am so excited about what we just did. I can't believe it. Hold on, here it is. Chipotle. Boom. Boom. All right, let me read this again. Wait, what? What? Tina, you are growing, evolving. I'm so proud of you. Me too. All right, Florida Chipotle goes viral after numerous Yelp reviews claim employees seduced their husband. Now, I don't know when Yelp started allowing people to leave feedback, not just on the food or the cleanliness of the bathroom, but girl, your employee done slutty. Done slutty. A Chipotle in Fort Myers, Florida, of course, is going viral after several Yelp reviewers alleged a woman known as Lucy slept with their husband. Okay, what? What? Yeah, what, the bowl of meat? What? You know how you go and you're like, you want a bowl or you want a burrito? I want a woman named Lucy. What? As pointed out on Twitter by so-and-so, the location recently received a series of reviews discussing the alleged general manager's supposed proclivity to sleep with married men. Apparently, there's some controversy at my local Chipotle, the tweet read. Let's read this thing. Hold on. It's, oh my gosh. Yeah, not just flirt, curly top. Yeah, what's in the guacamole there? I'm about to tell you. It said, don't send your husband. Okay, I have to read this, and it's not. Do not send your husbands here to pick up Chipotle. Next thing you know, Lucy's going to seduce them into sleeping with her like she has with multiple married men. You have guac to be kidding me. Shut up. They said you have guac to be kidding me. Stay far away. Lucy the GM or whatever position she's in, she likes to sleep with married men, aka her customers. What? Lucy is a pig. Okay. What? And they posted on Yelp. Slept with my husband too. They need better customer service. I don't know. I'm going to be honest. The customer service sounds amazing. That doesn't involve my bed. The guac sucks too. Okay. Oh, and by the way, the guacamole there, not as good. Not as good. Besides the whole adultery thing, I did not enjoy the chips. So keep it in mind. Can I... All these Yelp reviews are like one-star Yelp reviews from all these people saying they slept with their husband. Here comes David, 5 stars. Can I get Lucy's number? I think she's a great member of the team. Shut up. It's a full-service Chipotle. Oh, boy. Stay far away. She said, while there's no telling if the review is genuine, the same user left a scathing review of a Cape Coral veterinary hospital last week. Following Jessica's advocacy with Lucy, several other reviewers came forward with similar claims. Oh, my gosh. Don't send your husbands here. You have guac to be kidding me. Other users on Yelp appeared bemused. Lucy went above and beyond while handling my burrito. Shut up. He's a burrito. My husband hates Chipotle. I guess that's good. Kezia, you're fine. We'll be visiting this location much more frequently. We all know what Lucy's been doing, but doesn't change the fact that she runs a place like the Navy. She has great customer service. I fully support her. She made the best burrito I've ever had in my life. And look good doing it too. I love Lucy. This is the weirdest. thing. Oh my gosh. It's difficult to say if the reviews are genuine, if there's something, or even if there's someone there named Lucy working there. But it is clear the people are having fun after Jessica F. dropped her bombshell of an allegation. There's so much here, and I am here for all of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, girl gotta eat, said Judy. She's just trying to get a good tip. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that was one. I got two more. Hold on. Okay. This sounds like something I would do, and I would like for everybody to tell me if they've ever done anything like this, because I did. Okay, here we go. Woman accidentally books entire hotel instead of an Airbnb in Bali. Now, there's a lot in that sentence that I cannot relate to, mostly Bali. And I just did my first Airbnb and I ended up in a yurt. So I'm not sure how somebody books an entire hotel, but let's get into it. A woman turned up at a luxury holiday property she had booked in Bali only to discover she had accidentally reserved the entire hotel. British TikToker shared the experience of social media. Kept, why does stuff like this always happen to me? According to Jazz, she thought she had booked a villa in Ubud, the Airbnb. She made the reservation a year in advance for a family holiday and said she had let her grandparents select where they would stay out of several options that they chose the most expensive one. According to Jazz, she paid $3,000 to rent out the property, which said it could sleep up to 11 guests for a week. Before arrival, she said she was concerned that the goalpost might change. I just know that there's going to be problems with this because, like, Bali increased their prices for everything every single year, she said, adding that she was worried that the reservation might be canceled at the last minute and that they might double the price. The week before, the property owner got in touch, allegedly frantic, the Jazz had managed to book for such a low price. It turned out the villa was under new management with all the new amenities and facilities, and the minimum nightly rate was now $1,400. After speaking with the new owner, Jazz said he accepted the booking. But when she and her family arrived, she noticed several red flags. The place was listed as a hostel on Google Maps, and there was a till in the kitchen area. Oh, what? There was what? A till. What's a till? What's a till? I don't know. Instead of a large villa, the property was now a small hotel. The manager allegedly told Jazz more guests would be arriving because she had booked at a special rate. However, she backed down and agreed to cancel the other guests after Jazz told her, I just booked it. No one explained that there was going to be other people staying here. In the TikTok video, she recalled her conversation with the manager. I was like, there's no way I'm staying here with my family if other people are going to be staying here. The family then enjoyed the whole place to themselves. So basically, there are seven of us, me and my family. I think there's 12 bedrooms. It sleeps like 18. There's a full-time bartender, a chef, an actual restaurant, and literally just me and my family there. She also gave viewers a tour of the place. Has a pool. This is so crazy. It's so weird. Oh, a till is a cash drawer. Yeah, I was going to say, that don't make sense. Why is that in the kitchen? Okay. So weird. A till is something where the business keeps money. Why is it in the kitchen? Safe. Weird. Weird. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but the fact that it's beautiful. I can see the picture. The fact that she's saying that she was afraid that they were going to double the price at the last minute. See, that gets shady. That's shady. Shady, shady. The other day, I'm at a TGI Fridays. I get a ginger ale. Okay. And looking to get some more food. There's nobody in the restaurant. There's like two people. And the waitress disappears for like a half an hour. And I was like, where'd she go? Then when she comes back, she's talking to people. She's not paying any attention. I was like, okay, I don't know. Do you ever get somewhere and just like, just a couple basic things are happening and you're like, this ain't right.
something wrong here. You don't talk about that feeling to feel like she had. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm just going to go eat somewhere else. There was a Chipotle where Lucy worked down the street. And you know, I love a Chipotle. I'm an owner. I got one share. So I said, I'm going to go. She says, you don't want to eat here? I thought to myself, you just disappear for 30 minutes. And then when you came back, it's not like you were like, I'm so sorry. There was an emergency. It was a fire in the kitchen. Nothing. Didn't say a word. Yeah, like murder hotel feeling. Don't say that. Don't say murder hotel when I'm coming to stay with you, Judy. You can't do a murder hotel joke the day before I show up at your hotel. Why is Judy making murder hotel jokes the 24 hours before I arrive? Judy, those jokes aren't funny. Coming from my concierge 24 hours before I leave. Just so you know, I'm going to need no more murder hotel jokes coming from a lady in a different country that I'm staying with in 24 hours. All right? Judy, ixnay on the oaks, Jay. Do you understand what I said? It was a different language. Pig Latin. So if I get there and there is not a she shed, Judy, I will be upset. I'll be like, this is not at all what was on the Airbnb listing that didn't exist and I made up in my head. Okay. So then I said, I'm politely said, I'm going to go. And she said, fine. You want to check out? I said, yes. And she says, okay, that'll be $5. Now I thought, that's weird. $5 for this one ginger ale? But I was like, I said, okay. So where's the Photoshop pictures of her she shed she sent to me? So I give her the $5 and I said, can I get a receipt? She goes, well, I'm not supposed to give that receipt to the customers, but I guess I can give it to you. What? Who says that? What do you mean you're not supposed to give me a receipt? She gives me a receipt. Guess what the receipt says? You want to guess what it said? $3.27. Yep, she did, Renee. Uh-huh. Did she even really work there? I'm starting to think she didn't, Shakendra. The receipt said $3.27. She did, Bonnie. And Curly Top, I don't even think she was going to ring it up. She was just going to put it in her pocket. Did you say no, Kim? Because I was so mad. Yeah, Sneaky B. Sneaky B. Yep. No, I walked over to Lucy's place. All right. Got some tips. All right. Meat cubes. She was pulling fast one. I was like, exactly, Nancy. It was a shim sham, straight up shim sham. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shady. So I'm asking, did you question? No, I didn't question. I need to get out of there because I'll start something. And it wasn't my day. You know how like sometimes it was the day I had the kidney stone. I was like, this isn't my day. I cannot fight the fight today. When I have a kidney stone, you could rob me. You could come and take all my dogs, mostly Colby. Take Colby. I implore you. Take Colby. I won't fight you. I have a kidney stone. Mm-hmm. Hoops off. Yeah. No, that's what I said, Bonnie. Give me my stuff. I'm out of here. Mm-mm. No. No. Shady. Shady. My coworker and I went to lunch at a local chain. Our restaurant was good at first. Then she got pulled into a large room and forgot about us. We had to grab them and get her. Obviously, we were not going to tip like they were. Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't up to par, Mooney. Yeah. Not my thing. So, all right, there was one other article, let me tell you, because I thought this was super weird. I was like, my audience is going to want to get to the bottom of this. And we shall. Here we go. This is really serious. It's not a fluff piece like the last two articles. This is serious. A major mistake has finally been fixed on Captain Crunch's uniform. That's right. The stripes on the Cereal mascot sleeves are getting a long overdue update. Okay, now we're getting to something that people really want to hear about. All right, so let me show you. This is Captain Crunch. I don't know what we're updating, but something about his sleeves. Now, just so you know, Captain Crunch is made with corn, and I would like to eat all of it. But it does not say gluten-free. I believe it is, but it's on a machine that has sat or went out one night with gluten, so you're not allowed to eat it. If you grew up in a household that permitted sugary breakfast, no, then you love Captain Crunch. Iconic white mustache, disembodied eyebrows. What's a disembodied eyebrow? Oh, they don't have his hat. I've never heard anybody use the term disembodied eyebrow, but they not on his body, they on his hat. I got you. Cartoonish bicorn hat. There's a lot. And those fancy epaulets. Okay. How does an article about Captain Crunch have so many words that I have never heard of in my entire life? Okay. And a double-breasted coat. I know what double-breasted is. I know what double-nippled is. But over the years, eagle-eyed cereal munchers have also noticed an important error in the uniform. Now, how are you going to act like there's an error in the uniform? It's not real. He's a cartoon. The gold stripes on his sleeves are below his rank. What? What? Despite his decades of distinguished service, fighting off the dreaded soggies or sailing into your boat, your bowl is part of a balanced breakfast. That is not a balanced breakfast. I don't know who put Captain Crunch and balanced breakfast in the same category. That is never balanced. Nothing. All right. He's been wearing a coat sporting 3 bars reserved for the lower rank of commander instead of the 4 bars befitting of a captain. In fact, since the character was created in 1963 by television producer Alan Burns, who worked on Rocky and Bullwinkle, and co-created the Munsters and the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Captain Crunch's sleeves have varied from depicting him as an ensign, 1 bar, to a lieutenant, 2 bars, and presently a commander. But for his 60th birthday, oh, folks at Quaker Oat Company decided it was time to set things right. So starting this month, Captain Crunch's uniform is getting a long overdue adjustment on all of the brand's cereal and snack products. To celebrate the uniform promotion as part of Captain's 60th birthday last week, San Diego's Comic-Con, 60 cosplayers marched the streets dressed as the Navy man, 4 bars on each sleeve and all. They did. Look at them all. Look how adorable. Look, there's people like this in the universe. It's just people that were like, I'm in. There's going to be a Captain Crunch parade. Let me get my uniform out. There's at least 60 people. I would have gone. I'm not going to lie. And that's it. That's the story. He's going to get 4 bars. So let's see. Can we tell here? Yeah, only 3. No, there's 4. Oh, this must be the updated one. So see, look in a sleeve. I don't know if you could tell. There's 4 bars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think anyone ever noticed the sleeves. I know, people got a lot of time on their hands. A lot of time on their hands. I don't know. Dag nabbit. Who remembers? Do you guys remember? This wasn't that long ago. I think it was during the pandemic. Or maybe it's just when Lopez did it. But you know how they started doing the commercials where they had different actors playing Colonel Sanders from KFC? And they had a couple different people playing him in like these little shorts. But then I'm almost positive it was during the pandemic. They hired Mario Lopez to play Colonel Sanders in the most seductive 7-minute soap opera. Uh-huh, Kezia. And I was all about it. Mm-hmm. And it was real cheesy, real cheesy and stupid. It was so crazy. And it was a Lifetime movie. Don't call me crouton. Oh, Vicky. Vicky for the win today. That's right, right? And he was fighting. He was like, hey, don't call me crouton. I was like, yeah, I still have that movie on my DVR. It's the best. I remember all of us watching it. It was during the pandemic, right? So funny. It was an event. I feel like we were live too. And I was like, guys, I gotta go watch it. So funny. I just love people who make up dumb stuff like that. Uh-huh. You missed it? I'm sure you could Google it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the strangest 7 minutes to tell. Yeah, and it wasn't even like in a 15-minute interval. Like I don't know. Uh-huh. Yeah, you went on right at it and we had a recap. It was so funny. Another fun fact from my murder host, Judy from Saskatoon. The colonel had best friends in Saskatoon and opened the first Canadian KFC up here. Mm-hmm. I just checked YouTube and couldn't see any comments there. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with the comments. I see a lot of people talking about it, but I can't help you. I see everything that it's funny because it doesn't dawn on me all the time that Facebook only sees Facebook comments and YouTube only sees YouTube. That makes sense, right? If you're on those platforms, but StreamYard takes them all and puts them together. So I see all of them. So there might be times where I might be talking to somebody and you might be like, I don't know. So we're trying to get better at like putting people's comments up there. We're trying to get better at a lot of stuff. I don't know that we are, but we are having a really good time. So... Facebook filters comments. I don't know, Beth, if they filter them live. I thought that when you make a comment here live that we're going to see it and that maybe on replay it filters, but I'm not sure. That makes sense, but I think comments are not showing in general. I don't know. I will say, now my internet was wonky today. And I had an issue last night on Tipsy Tuesday. But every once in a while, like Facebook will be, I feel like we're all kind of used to it. Like Facebook will be running pretty well. And then all of a sudden something will go twisted or sideways. And then we're like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway. So listen, you guys. What a great day today. Ah, so fun. So we'll be on the road tomorrow. And by we, I mean me going to my murder hotel host, Judy from Saskatoon, who's picking me up from the airport. So I can't wait. Judy, it's so exciting. It's a little weird. Honestly, I have so much to do today. It really hasn't like... The Saskatoon slasher hasn't been in the news for a while. Thank you, Jim. Judy's like, I'm the Saskatoon slasher. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kezia, it's going to be great. Booby, come here. Show everybody what's going on. Tell everybody what's going on. I think Booby is allergic. Come here, mommy. Come here, mommy. Not you, Lulu. Come here, Booby. Booby's a little sick. I think she's a, come here, baby girl. Okay, you are not at all remotely named Booby. Come here, Boob. Come here, Boobies. Yeah, you look under the weather. I think she's allergic to bread. Lulu's fine. She just wanted to say hi to everybody. So, But Booby's having a day. I think she's allergic to wheat. They eat a wheat-free diet. But the other day I was giving Lulu medicine and I gave Ruby a piece of bread and she hasn't, yeah, she's gluten sensitive too, her and me. Her and I, yeah. Next on Dateline, a woman decided to meet a friend in all the, in the, it's always the quiet, sleepy town of Saskatoon. Do you ever notice when he says it? It's always, it was a quiet, sleepy town. A town where nothing really ever happens, except today. This day was different. Dina Blizzard was an internet host. Show that she did in her kitchen. He always did that. Show she did in her kitchen. I've watched too much Dateline that I know the inflection in his voice. He's like, but today would be different for Dina. She thought she'd be sleeping in a cute she shed, but the Saskatoon Slayer had different plans on that fateful night. It's always a fateful night. It was an ordinary day. If Judy walks up and is like, welcome to an ordinary day on this fateful night, I'm about to turn around. I'll be like, Judy, do not say anything murder-like. I will not do it. I will not stay, but I will because she has chocolate. Okay, except on the night of July 26th. Where's Laurie? She done gone, Becky. She was our first one up. Date with Dateline, so good. I don't want to see a story about me either, Carol. All right, so listen, everybody. We did a great job. Just beware if there's a thunderstorm. It always means more. How long you stayed at Judy's? We're there 2 nights. Yes, and gluten-free coffee cake. Oh, you have coffee cake. Judy, I love coffee cake. This is gonna be the, I'm just going to eat my way through Canada. Just eat and eat. I don't even care if she murders me. As long as I told you, like an hour before I die, give me all the gluten. You should know that. I think Judy is now my emergency contact. Unless she murders me, in which case I should probably get a different emergency contact. No raisins. No raisins, she. Oh my gosh. Just so you know, I ate two of these before the show even started. Last night on Tipsy Tuesday, we made something called apple cake. Not Jewish apple cake, just apple cake. No raisins. And I ate two of these today. These are heaven. I wasn't sure. Because Diane had to make it 3 times in order to get it right. So good. I'm not lying. That's probably not a great endorsement. But I'm telling you, really good. Highly recommend. And they were good for breakfasts because I had two. Mm-hmm. When your emergency contact is your cause of the emergency. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, there's that. Judy's going to be the emergency contact for like 15 people. Yeah. Candace, they were really good. The recipe is posted, Victoria. Anytime we make anything, Steph will always post it on the store page. So if you go to onefunnymotherstore.com and you click on voila, you'll see the recipes. And so the recipe came from Carla. I'm not sure if Diana gives her the adjusted recipe. Or if she just posts the recipe as we kind of get it from our followers. Did Diana doctor the recipe with water, mountain raisins? Yeah, we didn't do any raisins and she reduced the water to 1/2 cup and they're perfection. They're so good. So good. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. It'll be nice to say on Friday, like Judy from Saskatoon says, do something nice for yourself. And maybe somebody else, who knows? But she'll be able to say that to you herself. And I want to thank you for watching. As always, I want to thank Laurie Berkner for joining us today, which was so lovely. And I'd love to just have a bourbon with her and just make dirty songs. That'll be on my bucket list. And I'm looking at Ruby. And thanks to sexy producer Michelle, who did a great job with booking as always. So I just want to thank everybody for being here. Have a great day, a blessed day. Talk to each other tomorrow. But we'll be back on Friday to chit chat with all of you. So that's it. Thanks for watching. Have a good one, everybody. I'll see you.
Hey guys, if you enjoyed today's morning show, make sure to follow us for more One Funny Mother content.
Okay, all right. Morse code is tapping.
And check out onefunnymotherstore.com for great new inappropriate swag. And for more exclusive content, consider becoming a supporter.
She got a bad leg.
Thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow on One Funny Mother.